We can wake up in Austin.
Thank you. You are listening to The Caravan on Red River Radio, and I'm Bill Beckett. And that was Nick Brumley with a cut taken from his most recent live release, a CD called Darker Days and Brighter Nights, and that was the tune Wake Up in Austin. I had a chance to meet Nick about a year ago when he accompanied Maggie Kerner for a live show here on Red River Radio. And this year he stopped by during our fun drive with a copy of his latest live CD. So I invited Nick to join me here in the Marion and Donald Weiss Performance Studios of Red River Radio to talk a little bit about his music and career and to share some songs with you. Nick, thanks for stopping in to Red River Radio for this.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
So tell me, you've been in Marshall for a little over 8 years now, and mm-hmm. where did you come from?
Well, I was born in Midland, and then when my dad passed away, we moved to Farmersville, Texas, which is in northeast Dallas. And when I graduated from high school, I got into ETBU, and that's exactly what brought me to Marshall was ETBU.
Okay, so did you go through the whole ETBU music program there, or
no? I went there to be a teacher, okay. Actually, to teach history, and got through 3.5 years in a private Baptist institution. Was not for me, apparently. And I started playing music then, so that seemed like a lot more fun.
When did you pick up the guitar for the first time?
I was 18.
So this wasn't something that you just kind of started as a kid and just kind of progressed into?
I played trumpet in high school, and I really enjoyed that. And then a friend of mine, when I was a senior in high school, was like leading worship in churches and didn't want to do it by himself. So he taught me some chords.
Okay.
And then him and I went to ETBU together, and through that, like, that's when I got really interested in music and learning more. Like, it wasn't just about what was on the radio. There was, like, I think my mom showed me Neil Young, and that's what really turned me on to, like, songwriting. And
what did she show you about Neil Young?
The first song I ever heard by him was Needle and the Damage Done.
Yeah.
And that kind of blew my mind. And then her favorite was Old Man.
Okay.
And that whole Harvest album is what
right.
she... And that was like the first, the first vinyl I ever heard was Michael Jackson's Thriller, and I really dug that too. But then yeah. she showed me Harvest, and I was sold on guitar playing and writing and stuff.
Now, you're writing your own songs. How long have you been actually? I know you've got your live album that was done over at Charlie's Backyard.
Yeah, that's actually the second.
Okay.
Yeah, my first album I did in 2009. And then I started doing other various projects and never really, I still wrote my own stuff. But through the other projects, there was a band called the Good Time Rounders, and we were doing like co-writing within that. But I was still writing on my own and still wanted to put out another solo record. But then things kept coming up because we started playing with Maggie.
Right.
So, but now actually, bass player Eric Gardner, we put out an album together, which was songs that I had set aside that we kind of arranged together. And that was the second one I put out. And then we started playing with Maggie. And we were on the road with her for quite a bit.
Yeah.
But still wanted to do another record. And then we ended up not moving to New Orleans. And the band that I was in here in Marshall, Good Time Rounders, we were breaking up. So I was like, well, I guess this is the perfect opportunity to put out a record. And I always wanted to do a live one. And we're so close with everybody up there at Charlie's.
Yeah.
And Rudy and Rachel Zachary, the owners up there, great, great people. And they were willing, like, yeah, to come do it up here. So we did it. And then after I did that record, then we started another band. So I didn't know if I wanted to put out the live album. We started doing some Mansion Family stuff. And then they're like, yeah, go ahead and put it out. And so put that out. And now we're working on a Mansion Family record.
And the Mansion Family is your other project that's
yes.
going on right now. Can you tell us a little bit about the Mansion Family?
Yeah, the Mansion Family consists of myself, John Fox, Chris Dean, Eric Gardner, and Casey Brown. And we kind of formed that because four of the five of us were in the Good Time Rounders together, and we had so much fun playing together, we didn't want to quit, especially
right.
since Eric and I weren't moving.
Yeah.
And we kind of changed the sound because the Good Time Rounders was more acoustic-based, banjo, mandolin, guitar, upright bass. And the Mansion Family ended up being more electrified
okay.
and a lot more original stuff, which was more fun for us, too. And it's more fun to tell people, no, we're not going to play Wagon Wheel or Freebird. Right. You know, it's a lot more fun.
All right. Now, you are doing a lot of original material here lately, and you're going to give us a couple of tunes right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I'd love to.
What's your first one? Give me the name of it.
This one's called Next Mistake. I wrote this about a couple of interesting scenes I've seen in bars, specifically around Marshall. But, yeah, it's called Next Mistake. Pretty mama with your long hair down. You wear a black dress to destroy this town. I see you at the bar at a quarter past eight, waiting in line for your next mistake. I've never seen a woman that can drink so much. We're shooting whiskey shots and she's keeping up. The rap song's playing on the radio. She'll be on that bar before too long. She's got a way of looking at you in your eyes. You never see it coming, always by surprise. Then she'll steal your heart from within your chest. Leave you praying for a real quick death. With my heart in her hand, she's headed out the door. Still on the prowl and looking for more. And she's asking everybody for a ride to that honky-tonk out on 59. In the bar with her arms in the air, screaming, letting everybody know she's there. Then she tucks my heart in her back left side to see whose else she can steal tonight. But then we take another shot and we hit the floor. We're two-stepping now and I can't let go. Gets real close and whispers in my ear and says, you can be my next mistake, my dear. You're too damn pretty to ignore the calls. Excuse me, miss, while I sit and pause. Some people may think I'm half insane. I won't fall for your selfish games. Two and I'm headed home. Girls like you don't sleep alone. You'll take the next guy and look him in the eyes. Then he'll be begging for his own life.
So that's an uplifting, happy love song, right?
They're all uplifting and happy. All of them.
That was The Next Mistake, music by Nick Bromley, who's live in our studio tonight on The Caravan. And so You knew this woman, right? you've known many.
It was about five or six of them.
Okay, it's like a composite image.
Yeah, yeah. They all have the same agenda.
Right. All right. So if you were to, say where your inspirations for songs come from, is it just kind of, observations of human foibles or
a lot of it is. A lot of it is like observing. But sometimes of course a lot of inspiration comes from emotional. Yeah. I got songs I've written about like just instances that's happened within my family, you know. And then definitely when you spend as much time in bars as, a lot of us do, there is so much inspiration around, and some of it's not even about drinking. Now, it's fun to write about drinking.
Right.
People can relate to that a lot.
Well, sometimes it's the emotions that go with the drink.
People become your best friend after two shots bars. They'll tell you everything. You don't even want to know, really.
You wrote a song about... I'm going to presume it's about your father passing away.
Oh, my grandfather.
Your grandfather, yeah. Okay. And that's on your album, right?
On the, my first record and then on the live album as well. And that one was, I guess I had been writing for about 2 years after he passed away, but never, always wanted to write a song for him, but wanted him to look down and like actually like it, or it'd be worth something. And then I found the best way to just write that song was just about that situation, about that day that I found out he passed away and stuff. And that it was just, nobody likes losing a loved one, and especially in this situation, he was the foundation of the family. And when he passed away, like, nobody had any direction because he was, the direction for all of us. And then it didn't help that me and my uncle were the only two males left. And with 10, 11 girls, and they always looked up to Pawpaw for direction. And then all of a sudden they're asking us what to do. We're just like, we don't know what to do. And me and my uncle would talk. We'd be so mad at our grandfather. It's like, it wasn't time for you to go, man. Like, what? So we have all this responsibility now. Yeah. But it was definitely like a growing experience. And it's still like the whole gist of the song is like when somebody that close to you dies, like you're in denial, for the longest time. And there are times we're still like in denial, it still feels like he's there, but like where exactly is he, So, but yeah, I'll play that song.
It's cold this Monday morning. Yesterday we saw Easter come and go. Why is it so cold? A phone call this early morning telling me that I need to come home. What is going wrong? No, 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 he can't be gone. This has to be a false alarm. It's so cold out on 45 when you got loved ones on your mind. This can't be his time. 'Cause I have yet to graduate, he says. He can't hardly wait to see me walk that stage. So no, 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 he can't be gone. be a false alarm. Upstairs, and she'll see no one but me. Why does it have to be me? No, 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 we can't be gone. Someone tell me this is a false alarm. I walked into the room as tears rolled down her face. She tells me that he's gone. No, 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 he can't be gone. This was supposed to be false alarm. In the ride, it's still cold to this day. When I'm driving down Copper Vine Lane,
and the name of that is Copper Vine Lane. That's Nick Brumley live in our studios here on The Caravan. That's a powerfully emotive song, and a lot of your writing seems to tend to come from that, you know, it's less an observation of the frivolity of life as much as an observation of the serious impact that life has on our spirits.
It definitely keeps it honest in a sense as well, you know. And that's the beauty about songwriting, really. You can tell when somebody's being honest or not, right. You know. And so it's good to have that. Like, one of my favorite songwriters is a guy from Hot Springs, Arkansas, named Brian Martin. And he always taught me, like, I've always looked up to him, like, ever since I started writing or even found out who he actually was. Right. And he always said... this stuck with me. I just got nominated for East Texas Music Award.
Oh, okay. Congratulations.
And, well, thanks. I was talking to him about it, and he was like, man, he goes, about 2 years ago, I would have thought that would have looked good on a resume, but the more he writes, the more he played for people. He said he would get more out of affecting one person emotionally in a song than he would having 10 awards hanging on his shelf. Because really, those are just materialistic things. Emotions last forever. And how are you going to, you know, like, affect me emotionally tonight?
Right.
Like, how are you going to move me tonight? There's a place in Paris, Texas. I'll be playing it in June. And Brian and I have played over there before. And it's a little listening room. It may fit 30 people.
Yeah.
And it's like the best shows we've ever had.
You because know? They're all listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Now, you've been working with the Manchin family for what?
Well, with those group of guys. Like, me and Fox have played in bands for like nearly 7 years now.
Okay.
But Manchin family, we haven't been together quite a year yet.
Oh,
it's been six, 7 months.
All right.
And we're actually getting ready to record this weekend, which is really exciting because we've been waiting to do it. We've been needing to do it for about 2 months or so.
Where are you recording it?
We are going to use our house.
Okay.
People call it around town the Manchin. That's where
right,
the name
yeah.
came from.
Yeah.
And we're going to use our house. We're going to use actually upstairs in Charlie's. And then we're going to use some of the Marshall High School band hall.
Okay.
So, and that's going to be fun, like finding the different sounds and seeing the what goes fit. Yeah.
Different acoustic settings for the different acoustic signatures of the song. So,
because definitely at the high school, like there's a lot of rooms that has a lot of separation, which is good.
Right.
Now it's going to be hell trying to find sounds in the house and at Charlie's, but that's going to be the fun part because you can find really, really haunting sounds in old wooden rooms.
Oh, yeah.
It's really cool.
Well, and just the way the notes interact with the surfaces, too, is going to affect and change and color, you know, the tone of the song. So,
yeah.
Great song about a haunted house should probably be recorded in a haunted house.
There it is. No, no joke. Our house is actually legitimately haunted.
Yeah.
We don't have to get on the stories, but there is a bedroom door upstairs that constantly will not stay shut.
Uh-huh.
And all four of us have closed the door, and we'll go upstairs, and the door's open. And there's... No, we ain't gonna talk about it, man.
Somebody was locked in their room as a kid, and they ain't having none of that.
Probably. There's much old dolls and stuff in there. It ain't cool, man. All right. It's weird. It ain't cool.
Well, have you written a song to that ghost?
No, no.
You should write a song to that
ghost. I'm not giving that ghost any more energy than what he already has.
Okay. Well, have you do you have any of the Mansion Family songs that you'd like to do?
Yeah, I'll play a Mansion Family song. This song is called Tax Man. And this is about a lot of different things. I gotta find a bottle for baby. Yes, I gotta find a nickel for my home. I don't think that daddy can save me when his back's up against the wall. Well, I can hear the tax man is calling, and I can hear him scratching my walls. And I can feel the shadow is creeping up, and he's about to release the dogs. Well, give me just a little bit, maybe just some infinite space. The way that things are going, when I'm dead, you won't even find a trace. The queen is holding on to numbers, and that king is holding on to his pair. Well, the jack is moving slower as the ace is moving over. You can take them if you dare. Well, I'm swimming through a sea of whiskey. I've been skiing down a mountain of coke. Well, nothing seems to bother me, but morning gets the worst of me. I'm at the end of the hangman's rope. Well, give me just a little bit, maybe just some infinite space. The way that things are going, when I'm dead, you won't even find a trace. Mother, or the one about the Holy Ghost. One thing is for certain, when the plot reaches the surface, you'll be tossed underneath the boat. Well, give me just a little bit, maybe just some infinite space. Well, the way that things are going, when I'm dead, you won't even find a trace. Oh, won't you give me just a little bit, maybe just some infinite space?
Well, the way that things are going, 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 you won't even find a trace.
Nick Brumley live in the Red River Radio studios. First time I met Nick, for those listening, was when he came in with Maggie Kerner, and that was about a year ago, a little over a year ago.
Yeah.
How did you hook up with Maggie Kerner and start to working with her?
We started working with Maggie. We all have a mutual bar where we go and hang out and have our recreational drinks together, a place called Bears, okay, in Shreveport. Yeah, we met her there. At Bears, and Eric and I, Eric Gardner, we had a project called Brumley and Gardner, and we were playing at Bears quite a bit, and she would come and watch our shows, and then we would hang out with her, like, outside of shows, yeah. And then we have tons of friends here in Shreveport, musicians. Pretty much all our friends are musicians.
Yeah.
And so after, like, after a bar, maybe we'll just get together and jam. If, like, if it was a Brumley and Gardner gig, like, it, all the other guys would come up and just play. It'd be an open jam. And, like, okay, Maggie would get up and sing. And through that, she started recording her solo album at Blade Studios.
Right.
And she asked Eric and I to come do some session work on it. So we did that. And then she had one band. When she put the album out, she was touring with one band. And then they ended up doing different projects as well, and Eric and I, we weren't doing as much, and she asked if we wanted to do it, and we're like, yeah. She had a gig at Stubbs in Austin, and she's like, you want to come play? And so it was just me and Eric and her, and we're gonna kind of do the stripped down acoustic kind of thing,
right?
And then a good friend of mine named Sam Kilpatrick, who happens to be the best musician I've ever met, might be 22.
Mm.
And when I met him, he was 17 playing upright bass, and then he switched to guitar, and he's better than anybody I've ever met at guitar. Unbelievable musician. But he was in Austin at the time, and we're like, hey, come play with us too. And he's like, oh yeah, I'll be there. And then we met a drummer named Jeremy Hayes, who lives here in Shreveport now. He was down there at the time, and we happened to ran into him randomly at a taco stand. And we're like, hey, we got a gig tomorrow. You want to come play drums? And he's like, yeah. So then we had a band,
yeah,
and we did that Stubbs gig, and packed out. There's probably 350 people there, and we killed it. Like, it was a great show. And then from then we're like, we got to keep doing this.
Yeah.
So then Maggie kept us along. We toured for a while, and then I think we toured with her for about 6 months. And then towards the end of that, like, we were all just going starting different things, and it just kind of didn't play out.
Yeah. So what, I mean, you're working with the Manchin family. Do you have any, like, next solo aspirations that you're doing? Are you working on another album?
Yeah.
Where are you going from here?
I've been talking with Brian a lot. Like, about a year and a half ago, he talked about he wanted to produce one of my records. And that was really exciting to have somebody that you look up to, mm-hmm, as a writer. Not even as a writer, but just as a person, to be like, I really like your stuff. I want to produce an album. And I was like, cool. So I had stuff set aside for that, and then we both got busy,
mm-hmm,
and then now me and him have been in contact recently, and we talked about doing something together, actually.
Okay.
And then we've been sharing demos back and forth and going through material, and I have enough material to do another solo album, and I think the other material I'm going to save to do with Brian, and then other stuff save for Manchin family. Just, okay, it's nice to have those options, and then but still continually writing, you know. It's fun. Yeah. Hell, it's fun.
You know, you got a snippet of anything unreleased?
Yeah, yeah. This is, I wrote this song. See, I had a really rough weekend. And it's actually more like a really rough couple of weeks, as I was on, like, a mighty fine drinking binge. And it was around Mardi Gras. And I had that album release actually on that Friday, and then we had a Mardi Gras party that Saturday, and I just, lack of better words, got wasted. And I woke up Sunday and literally thought I was going to die. It was the worst I've ever felt, ever. And finally made it back to Marshall, and talked to my mom about it the next day, and she was like, how long have you been doing this? Like, when is enough? When is enough, you know? And I was like, you're right. So I wrote this song based upon what she said, and it's basically a me being sober writing a letter to a drunk me, and then it getting back into my mom's hands and it just being a complete disaster. She hadn't heard this song yet. And I don't know if I want to play it for her because I don't want it to be like this emotionally distraught. But this song's called Enough. Will you talk about the weather in its stronghold? You talk about the storm and how it won't go. But put all of that aside, you can change it all tonight, my friend. Well, you talked about the loved ones that let go, but in the end you were the one that no-showed. But put all of that aside, you can change it all tonight. The nights you pushed your luck, you tried to fill that bottomless cup. From the floor you couldn't make it up. When's enough? When's call you on the telephone? She's hoping that her son isn't long gone. You don't answer it with pride, but she'll pray for you tonight, my friend. And then you carry with you miles and miles of thick stone. You take it with you to pass it on down that road. Why carry such a load? Here's a hammer, break that stone, my friend. Oh, the nights you pushed your luck, you tried to fill that bottomless cup until the floor couldn't hold you up. When's enough? Resting with his dad tonight. Oh, tonight he pushed his luck. He finally filled that bottomless cup. And from the floor he couldn't make it up. He had enough.
Nick Brumley live in the studios of Red River Radio, a tune tentatively titled Enough. Nick, I want to thank you for coming in tonight for the caravan. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Bill, and thank you all for having me so much. It's been a pleasure, and hopefully we'll see you soon with the Mansion family.
Yeah. Tell me what's on the horizon as far as shows where people might get out to see you perform or the Mansion family. Tell us a little bit what you got coming up.
Well, tonight we're at Voodoo Cafe in Shreveport, the Manchin family is. Right. And then we'll start recording this weekend. And then the schedule's pretty much open outside of that once we start getting the album out and booking shows. So that, and then solo stuff, I got a week coming up in June. I'm going to be in, let's see, Marshall here in Shreveport, Hot Springs, Sulphur Springs, and Paris, Texas.
So, folks, look out for Nick Bromley. If you see him on the bill, take a chance, go out and see him. I think you'll enjoy the show. Nick, again, thanks for coming in tonight. We really appreciate it.
Thank y'all for having me.
Nick Bromley, recorded live in the Marion and Donald Weiss Performance Studios here at Red River Radio.